775-500-5266.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Cameo Cafe, located at 8111 Northeast Sandy Boulevard, serving burgers, breakfast, and brunch from 6:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. every day. Lunch was provided by Right Bayou Cajun Cuisine, a pop-up food cart located in the Portland area, providing a fusion of traditional New Orleans cuisine with fresh and local ingredients of the Northwest region. Find Right Bayou Cajun Cuisine at local Portland events. See their Facebook for more details. Dinner was provided by Le Bistro Montage, located in Portland's Industrial District at 301 Southeast Morrison Street. Le Bistro Montage serves Creole cuisine and is open daily until 2 a.m. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Latin American Film Series on Wednesday, September 18, 7:30 at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Portland Latin American Film Festival is dedicated to showcasing perspectives of Latin American culture through an exploration of Latin film, as well as increasing the visibility of Latin American cinema locally. Wednesday, September 18, will screen The Mongolian Conspiracy, a crime theater where a Mexican policeman has 72 hours to stop the assassination of the president of the U.S. on his visit to Mexico. Again, that's The Mongolian Conspiracy, part of the Latin American Film Festival on Wednesday, September 18, at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at the kboo.fm on the right side of the page under Community Events.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is now 6:01. Up next, Free Culture Radio.
Timothy Leary lives. No, he's outside looking in. Timothy Leary lives. No.
Produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Free Culture Radio. I'm Doug McVeigh. Free Culture Radio is an examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the ineluctable, indelible, and indispensable influence of drugs on society. Free Culture Radio neither promotes the use of any drugs nor condemns people for being involved in drugs. To the extent that drug use presents problems for individuals or society, those problems are made worse and more intractable when people who use drugs are treated as others and ignored, stigmatized, and even brutalized. On this edition of Free Culture Radio, Politics and the Public House. This is also an extended pledge drive special. I want you to pick up your phone right now and call 877-500-5266. If you're listening online, then open a browser window and go to kboo.fm/donate and make your pledge. Support community radio. Support your favorite programming. Support free culture and make that donation. Be a part of the community. The number again is 877-500-5266. Now, on with the show. I was at a brew pub years ago when a bloke at the end of the bar told me about the history of the public house, how it was a place where people met and discussed the issues of the day over beer, wine, and cider. It was a place where rebels plotted and revolutions were hatched. It was a blatant attempt to get me to buy a round, and it worked. But it was also true. There is a long history of taverns and public houses as places where people discussed the issues of the day, debated politics, and questioned the authorities. As historian Bet Kumin wrote in 2007, quote, "The public house was the political forum in early modern Europe. From the late Middle Ages, it accommodated oral, written, and symbolic communication on public affairs. An increasingly well-informed body of patrons, a key broker, if not office holder, in the person of the publican, as well as, in numerous cases, local government business and institutionalized political debate." End quote. On this installment of Free Culture Radio, we look at politics and the public house, starting with a local publican. I'm sitting with Abram Goldman Armstrong, the owner and proprietor of Cider Riot. The event on Saturday was a lot of fun, and listeners will have heard parts of that in here. I have a few questions, if it's okay. And the first one is, what got you into cider?
So yeah, I grew up out in Yamhill County and actually worked on a cider farm when I was in high school. A good friend of my dad's, Alan Foster, he had been over to the West Country in England and really fell in love with the traditional farmhouse ciders there and had started planting this orchard of cider apple trees in 1989. And I was a kid with a strong back and got hired on to help dig holes to plant trees for apple varieties such as Dabinet, Kingston Black, Yarlington Mill, and Harry Masters Jersey. Which are bittersweet and bitter sharp cider apples. So just like, you know, there's different wine variety grapes, Pinot Noir, things like that, Grenache, Syrah, like these grapes that are specifically have been developed over the centuries just for making wine. Same thing goes for cider. So in England and France, they have all these specific varieties that are just used for making cider. They're not great for eating, necessarily, but make amazing cider. So that was how I got my start in cider, was working at White Oak and helping plant these trees. And when I was 17, I moved away to college in Minnesota, and the Profane Existence local punk rock fanzine had an article on homebrewing and how to make your own cider. And I said, well, I know a little bit about making cider. You know, we'd pressed apples to make apple juice on the farm when I was growing up, and went to the dining hall, and every time I'd go to a meal, I'd smuggle out as many apples as I could fit in my flight jacket, and then got a pretty nice sized stack of apples in my dorm room, went to the local hardware store, got a cheese grater and two plates, and grated up all the apples and smashed them between the two plates to squeeze out the juice, put it in a carboy, put in some champagne yeast. After about 2 weeks, it had stopped bubbling, and decided, well, it must be time to drink it. So would dump it into a pitcher and bring this very rough raw cider around to my friend's dorm rooms and say, hey, drink my cider with me. And they'd say, okay. But it was pretty rough stuff because it was made out of all eating apples. There weren't any proper cider apples, and didn't have enough time to mature. Really stuck with it and got really involved in homebrewing. Brewed, you know, at college in Minnesota. And when I came back to Oregon in 99, got involved with the Oregon Brew Crew and just really involved in brewing beer and making cider as well.
I'm gonna go out of order my questions, because the next one I'm guessing it has to be a little more involved. I mean, certainly the process you go through here is a little more involved than a cheese grater, a couple of plates, and some champagne yeast. How do you make cider?
Yeah, that's a good question. For me, it all starts in the orchard with the apples, getting proper cider apples at the peak of ripeness, and then blending those to get a good result. You can also get in dessert apple juice, which is readily available year-round, so we do a lot of that. And with that, yeast selection plays a big part, because different yeasts produce different aromatic characters. And so when we make a cider with dessert apples, we're using Scottish ale yeast, which produces a lot of stone fruit esters. You get some peach notes. You can also get some subtle strawberry notes in the background. And so that helps add to those dessert apples, which are, you know, great for eating. They have lots of acidity, but they don't have any tannin to them. And so when working with a bittersweet or bitter sharp apple, those have tons of tannin and a lot of great variety. Like right here, I've got a lovely Kingston Black apple, which is it's got a little bit of russeting around the top and some yellow. and then it kind of goes down into a beautiful deep red with some spots on it. It's kind of like the Snow White apple when it's fully ripe. Kingston Black is a bitter sharp apple, and these are just produce a wonderful single varietal cider. We just bottled our 2018 here a few weeks back, and it's just a wonderful apple because it's full of not only tannin but acidity as well. And so I think that's the key to making good cider, is just really understanding your apples and having access to great apples. We're really lucky here in the Willamette Valley. Our growing conditions are pretty similar to the West Country in England, where these apple varieties originate. So they do pretty well here. Whereas in Eastern Washington, sometimes certain varieties, it's a little too hot, even though it's very suited for growing apples in general, might not be suited for each particular cider apple variety. For instance, Yarlington Mill is a great bittersweet apple that we love dearly here at Cider Riot. And talked to some of the growers from the Yakima area, and they can't grow it there because the fire blight pressure is way too high. But our conditions here in the Willamette Valley are a little more suited, and also on the San Juans and Vancouver Island as well. So you've got this nice belt of really ideal cider apple growing climate here in Cascadia.
That's part of my conversation with Abram Goldman Armstrong from Cider Riot. We'll hear more from Abram later in the show. Also, we'll hear from Alice Lundell with the Oregon Justice Resource Center and Eric Ward with the Western States Center. Right now, it's a membership drive, and I need you to pick up your phone. Call 877-500-5266 and become a member of KABU. If you're already a member, then thank you, and maybe consider making an additional pledge. Pick up your phone and call 877-500-5266 to become a member of KABU. And if you have already made your pledge, then thank you. Community radio plays an important role in your life. KABU is an important part of the community. This station gets most of its funding from you, the listener. We rely on your support to keep these programs coming to you, to keep the station on the air. So make that call now to 877-500-5266 and become a member. If you're listening online, then open a browser window and go to kboo.fm/donate and make your pledge. Support community radio. This is an extended edition of Free Culture Radio, so we will be back with much more. Let's go now to Pledge Central.
KBOO 90.7, and we're in the middle of our fundraising drive. We want you to call 877-500-5266 and support your community station. And I would like to put it to you, how many of you can name another station that discusses the issues as freely and as openly as KABU does? I don't think you can find one anywhere. And where else are you going to get educated in cider the way that you just did? Got any answers out there?
I mean, that's some unique cider programming. It's hard to argue with that. Where else are you going to hear about these quality of apples? And there are so many ways that you can spend just a dollar a day. We're asking that our monthly sustaining members increase their monthly amount of their donation by just $1 or $2. If all of our monthly members who donate $1 more a month, we would have an extra $27,000 a year for the station, or $54,000 more for just two more extra dollars. So pick up the phone and call us. Dial 877-500-5266 to increase your monthly donation or become a sustaining member. You can also find us online at kboo.fm or on the app. Just click on that good old donate button.
And think about the theme for this year's fundraiser, Mike to the People. That's simply put very important. Where else does the radio station put its listeners first the way that KABU does? You really need to get out here and support this station, because it's much more important to you than you might think in first, because of all of the things that it means to you. It means intelligent conversation. It means great music of all kinds. It means issues that the news covers that nobody else is talking about. And you can do your support by calling 877 500-5266.
Welcome back. I'm Doug McVeigh, and on this installment of Free Culture Radio, we're talking about politics and the public house. On Saturday, September 14th, the Oregon Justice Resource Center and the Western States Center, two local nonprofits that work on criminal justice reform and related issues, held an event at Cider Riot. I was fortunate enough to be able to attend Together Against Hate, a community celebration. Here's Eric Ward, Executive Director of the Western States Center.
Look, I just want to thank our friends at Cider Riot. I was telling a story just the other day, and I'm going to tell it again. I grew up in Long Beach, California in the 70s, just as desegregation was happening. And I spent my 7th, 8th, and 9th grades going to a school and having to walk a few blocks from where the city bus dropped us off and being taunted nearly every day by people driving around in cars, calling me ape, calling me monkey, calling out the N-word. It happened so much to me and my friends that we actually didn't even think about telling our parents or telling teachers. It was just the way it was. It was just unsafe. It wasn't the first time, though. When I was in 6th grade, I remember going to school and a friend telling me about a Nazi march that had happened at a park we passed on the way to school. My entire time living in Long Beach, I never went into that park, right? I didn't see that demonstration. I never saw those Nazis. But just the thought that they were there was enough to shrink the space that I could function in. I didn't feel safe. I came down to Portland, Oregon with friends to watch a match, Portland Timbers versus Sunderland, my football club. I picked the tough ones, right? And I went into a stadium and I met the Timbers Army and I met supporters in Portland. And it was one of the first times that I felt safe. And I felt safe because I saw symbols, not of politics, but of values, being flown and worn across that stadium. I see it here in Cider Riot, and I see it in other places. And those symbols, right, aren't controversy. There's nothing controversial about opposing bigotry. It's a value that we should all hold. And it says something to those who feel most vulnerable in our community. It's why places like Cider Riot are under attack. And I'm very proud that OJRC has come to Cider Riot's defense. These are our spaces. This is our community. And it is one that will be grounded in inclusion despite the anger of folks who are fearful of the idea that all of us have the right to live, love, and work free from fear and bigotry. This is our town. And I want to thank Cider Riot for reinforcing that this is a community for all of us. Thank you.
That was Eric Ward, Executive Director of the Western States Center, speaking at an event entitled Together Against Hate, a Community Celebration, that was held September 14th at Cider Riot Cidery. The eating apples, the cider apples, brings me to a bit of the history that I wanted to ask you about, and that is Mr. John Chapman, Johnny Appleseed. He's not the Disney character.
Yeah, definitely not. Johnny Appleseed, John Chapman. Long story short, he was a land speculator. So the reason he was planting apples on these, donation land claims as a frontier expanded through Ohio and Kentucky and all this, he was basically claiming that land by developing it, saying, oh yeah, I planted these apple trees, so then he'd get to keep the land. And then the settlers showed up and said, hey, well, I've got this land and it's got some apples already on it, so you can make some cider, so you can drink some cider while you're clearing all the stumps and building your log cabin and all these things, right? So he kind of has this bowdlerized version of him where he's this, you know, guy who's planting these apples so you can bring a lovely apple to teacher. Well, these weren't going to be apples that would be good for eating because they were all seedling varietals. Apples don't grow true from seed. So if you cut an apple open, you can look in there and there's a fair number of seeds, right? And each one of those seeds is going to produce a tree that's going to be totally genetically distinct from the other brothers and sister seeds in that same apple. And so when you plant apples, seedling trees.
Welcome back.
Get kind of whatever, you know, it's usually going to have some characteristics of the parents, but it's not going to usually express things exactly. You know, it's going to be you could get a really acid one, you could get a really tannic one, but it's pretty rare to get a tannic apple from a dessert apple seed, but it could happen. But most of what he was planting were just kind of seedling seeds, and then they'd grow up and they'd, you know, make kind of weird, very high acid apples, which were used for making cider. You know, if you're looking to grow a Granny Smith tree or a Kingston Black tree, you're going to take a rootstock and then you're going to graft a piece of that original tree. So Granny Smith is a good example because Granny Smith is actually Alice Smith, who is a woman from Australia. And this original Granny Smith tree came up in her backyard, Yarlington Mill. It was originally a tree that came up at the mill at Yarlington in Somerset there. So basically, each tree is actually a physical piece of that original tree, that Yarlington Mill tree or Alice Smith's Granny Smith tree.
I'm Doug McVeigh, and on this installment of Free Culture Radio, we're talking about politics and the public house, the tradition of taverns and pubs as centers of political discourse and even radical politics. First, however, this is also a pledge drive, so I want you to pick up your phone and call 877-500-5266 to become a member of KABU. And if you have already made your pledge, then thank you. For now, let's go to Pledge Central.
You are listening to KABU Community Radio, and it is our fall membership drive. KABU is funded by you, our listeners, and we are asking you to go to the phone right now and dial 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266. Or go to kabu.fm and become a member today. I'm Althea, and I am excited to be on Free Culture Radio today talking about apples and social justice. And I'm also here to share with you why it's important that you support KABU. We're community broadcasters, and our job is to present you with some rich content that is meaningful and relevant, regardless of whether or not it has, you know, the same commercial value that you might find at another station. We can do that because of you. Independent media is more important than ever. KABU encourages and makes possible the deep engagement and dialogue that we're hearing right now. Become a part of our community today. Become a member. It is very easy to do. A simple monthly donation of $5 comes out to $60 a year, and that makes a huge difference for us and our programming. All you have to do is call 877-500-5266 or go to kabu.fm and become a member.
Did you know that there's a place for you to experience different kinds of music on the radio dial? You're in that space right now. You help to make that space. You support the local music scene with your KABU membership. You make so much happen, from the shows that focus on the Portland-based musicians to live remote podcasts from local and live music events to the in-studio performances. You protect the well-being of local music. You connect to the underground, to the DIY, to the unknown through KABU. Your support shines a light on what makes Portland a fascinating place to be, our creative community.
Call that number one more time, is 877-500-5266, or go to kabu.fm and click on donate.
Welcome back. I'm Doug McVeigh, and on this edition of Free Culture Radio, we're talking about politics and the public house, the long tradition in Europe and the U.S. of taverns and pubs as centers of political discourse and even radical politics. Let's hear more from Together Against Hate, a community celebration which was held at Cider Riot on September 14th. This is Alice Lundell from the Oregon Justice Resource Center.
My name is Alice Lundell, and I am the Communications Director with the Oregon Justice Resource Center. We are the nonprofit law firm that's representing Abe and Cider Riot in his lawsuit against Joey Gibson and Patriot Prayer and a number of other people associated with Patriot Prayer. You're welcome. I'll say thank you on behalf of the attorneys who are actually doing the work. I'm just the person that talks about what they do. I want to thank you all so much for being here today. The idea of this event was pretty vague. It was basically, let's bring some people together. Let's be in community together. Let's remind Abe that he's not doing this on his own. Let's remind his staff that they're not doing this on their own either, because they are, you know, affected too by all of this that is going on. It's so important to us as an organization to remind the community about why this matters, that this is more than just what has been happening to Abe and Cider Riot. This is also something which affects all of us in Portland, because we have seen for a number of years now these events, these marches, these protests by Patriot Prayer and other organizations who are coming into our city and who are behaving in ways that we as Portlanders should not have to put up with. We should not have to endure the disruption to our daily lives, to our family lives, to our economic lives. Local businesses should not be affected in this way. And having somebody like Abe who is willing to stand up and push back against it is so unbelievably important and so critical, because we wouldn't be able to bring a lawsuit ourselves. I mean, we haven't been as an organization affected, but for Abe and for his business to be able to do this is just is pretty incredible. So as well as being together, we also wanted to take the opportunity to make some thanks. We're grateful to Abe, but we're also grateful to some other people. One thing about this lawsuit is we are representing a pro bono, so we're grateful to everybody who has donated in support of the lawsuit, and if that's something you're able to do, then please know that that is so appreciated if you're able to make a contribution to the work that we do as a nonprofit. But also, I'd like to recognize all the people who have contributed their time through sharing, be it videos, images, thoughts, tips. So many people, you would not believe. Like, I set up a spreadsheet to automatically pull from Twitter every single thing that people send us on the hashtag for the lawsuit, which is CR litigation. And so we just got dozens upon dozens upon dozens of things that people sent us to help us with the lawsuit, because there's so many people in the community that want to see this succeed and have sent us images and videos and tips and ideas about things that have helped. And it actually really has been critical and has made a difference. So I do want to recognize what all of those people have done as well. I would also like to say thanks to those politicians who have supported as well, because hearing from some people speaking out has been so influential, I think, to hear some of the prominent voices in the community who have been willing to talk about why this is important and to show up.
That was Alice Lundell from the Oregon Justice Resource Center. She was speaking at an event entitled Together Against Hate, a community celebration which was held at Cider Riot on September 14th. Here's a little bit from Abram Goldman Armstrong.
Thanks very much, Alice, and thank you to Earl. He had to scoot off to another event. But really appreciate everyone coming out today. This is great. It's nice to, nice to know that we're not alone in this fight, and sometimes it does feel rather lonely. But there's a lot of folks doing really great work in Portland in particular, but all around the world trying to confront these bigots and this sadly global rise in hate and rise in bigotry. It's a really interesting position to be in. It puts me in a spot that I'm not exactly comfortable in, but it's good. I'm actually happy to be in this spot because it's learning and growing. And you know, I've been present, you know, at a lot of you know, rallies and things to oppose hate. You know, it was really interesting, actually. I was listening to KBOO the other day, and they had a representative from Rose City Antifa on the airwaves who was, you know, didn't know about the Gabriel Park thing in 2003 when the neo-Nazis tried to have a rally in Southwest Portland near the Jewish Community Center. And a bunch of us showed up and made it impossible for them to have their meeting there. And and that's something, you know, that you can go out and stand in the park or stand in the street and you know, put your body on the line. And that's something I'm real comfortable with. That's something that I've always done and been that's a comfortable place for me. Dealing with courtrooms, lawyers, not so much. However, I've had a really excellent time working with the folks at Oregon Justice Resource Center. I feel completely comfortable talking with them. And it's a really amazing experience for me to try this other tactic. You know, we talk about diversity of tactics a lot on the left, and diversity of tactics includes using the courts. You know, the cops aren't going to help you. They weren't there to help us on May Day.
That was Abram Goldman Armstrong, founder and owner at Cider Riot, speaking at Together Against Hate, a community celebration. I'm Doug McVeigh, and on this installment of Free Culture Radio, we're talking about politics and the public house. This is an extended edition of Free Culture Radio. We will be back with much more in just a few minutes. Now, let's go to Pledge Central.
You are listening to KBOO Community Radio, and it's our fall membership drive. KBOO is funded by you, our listeners, and we are asking you to go to the phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and become a member. I'm S.J. Oxendine, and I'm excited to be here with my new friend, Go, and we're trying to get you to support KBOO. And you've been listening to the station and to the news. And where else are you going to get the kind of news that we provide for you? And also, I want you to know that KBOO supports social justice for all with no compunction whatsoever. KBOO is always trying to make a comfortable place for everyone in their station to be. And that's a very good thing to support.